I haven't told you what the verse is because it's half of one verse and half of another. All right, are you happy with that? Yeah, excellent. Thank you very much for your help. You can go and sit down if you like. So shall we read that together, okay? God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. And it's particularly those words at the end that I want us to be thinking carefully about this morning. Made us alive with, or together with, Christ. Let's read it one more time. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Excellent. Thank you. You can pop that down now. Can we have the main slide, please, Alid, on the screen? Well, wonderfully, the story of Easter doesn't end at the cross. And I want to continue to tell the story. After Jesus had died, he was taken down and buried with the permission of Pilate by a man named Joseph of Arimathea. He had a tomb that had never been used before, and in it he laid the body, whatever the next picture, Alid, of the Lord Jesus. And you can see from this picture that there was a large stone that was rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb. And the religious leaders, they organized for soldiers to be put in front of the tomb to guard it, because they were worried that somebody might come along and steal the body of Jesus. Now, on that first Sunday morning, early in the morning, some of the women, we'll have the next slide, Alid, went to the tomb, carrying their spices, or their perfume, if you like. Their plan was to anoint the body of Jesus, to make it smell nice. That's what they did in those days. I don't know how they planned to get in the tomb, but that's another matter, and we won't go into that this morning. But when they arrived, they found the stone had been rolled away. The soldiers, of course, had run away by this time. And they entered the tomb, and they found that the body had gone. You can imagine what their thoughts were, can't you? Where has the body of our Lord gone? Suddenly, next picture, two men appeared, dressed in bright clothes. They were, of course, angels. Next picture, please, Alid. And these angels said to the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then the Bible tells us that they remembered his word. Well, they rushed off to tell the 11 disciples, next picture, what they had seen and heard. But you know, the disciples didn't believe. What they said seemed like nonsense to them. Simon Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb, next picture. saw that the stone had been rolled away, went into the tomb, and there lay Jesus' grave clothes. And the Bible says that he went away wondering what had happened. Now, I've brought in with me this morning the manse kettle. Rather odd thing, I suppose, to bring into church on an Easter Sunday morning. There's a problem with this kettle. It's not working. It's died. It was designed and made to light up, to go purple. It was created in order to boil water. But it's dead. It doesn't work. It's no longer alive. And that, you know, is a picture of every single person in the world who is not connected or united to the Lord Jesus. They are spiritually dead. They're not alive to God. They're not interested in God. They don't delight in His Word. They're going their own way in life. They're doing their own thing. They're not alive to the things of God. Let me put that down there for just a moment. Paul writes a letter to the believers in a place called Ephesus. And as he writes to them, he tells them what they were like before they came to know Jesus as their Saviour. Let's have the next slide put up on the screen. He writes this. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." It's a terrible picture, isn't it? Of what they once were. It's a terrible picture or portrayal of our condition if we're not connected to Jesus. It's so important, isn't it, that we are connected. Tell me, how can life be breathed into this kettle? How can we make it come alive? What needs to happen? Anybody? We need to plug it in, don't we? It's got a lead. It's got a plug. And it can be connected. Is there one at the front here? It can be connected to the power source. It can be connected to the mains. Let's see if this works. There we go. Look, it's not as bright as perhaps you thought it might be, but it goes a kind of purpley blue. And if I left that on, I'm not going to, it would eventually boil the water. Needs to be connected to the power source in order to be made alive. Well, if we're dead in our trespasses and sins, we need to be connected, we need to be united to Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. I'm not going to pick it up again. but we can be made alive together with him. Isn't that wonderful? Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Well, let me put it like this. This is what he went on to say. You were dead, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Those are the words we were just looking at, weren't they, earlier? Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. The biblical picture, of course, is not of a kettle being connected to the mains. The biblical picture is the one we looked at towards the beginning of the service. It's that of a branch being connected to the vine. Who is the vine? Jesus. And it's important that we become a branch connected to, united to the vine. How are we connected to the vine? Through faith. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that simple? Is that straightforward? Is that too difficult to understand? I hope not. You see, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is life eternal. Friends, I want to finish this morning by saying that if you haven't already, please be encouraged to acknowledge your sin before God and your spiritual deadness. If you're spiritually dead, I think in your heart of hearts you will know it. You'll know that you're not excited about the things of God, the things of Jesus. You'll know that you're really wanting to go your own way in life. Acknowledge your sin and your spiritual deadness. Confess it to God. Repent of your sin. And look to Jesus, who died and rose to life again. Put your trust in him. Put your faith in him and be connected, be united to him like a branch to a vine. And his death on the cross for sin will become your death for sin. And his resurrection life will become your resurrection life forever and ever. Friends, Christ is risen. He has conquered the grave, and we can have new life in him. We can be made alive together with him. Praise God. Amen.